everybody, welcome to the Warriors HQ podcast. Dieter Kurtenbach with you. Mark Medina will join me here in a second. Quick rundown of the show. We're going to talk about Andrew Bogut, the big Aussie, coming back to the Warriors. It's not official yet, but it's definitely going to happen. We're going to segue into the Warriors' upcoming games. A lot to talk about in between those two things. Let's bring in Mark Medina. Mark, how are you today?
We're doing great. I'm finally back on the podcast. I'm talking with you. I got to hear all your hot takes, but I say that in a very positive light because it might be a lot of fire, but there's a lot of credibility that comes with it. So this is going to be fun.
Why do I feel like you're being sarcastic there, Mark?
Well, I think here's the problem. Like, I have the same tone, and so yes. I'm serious and sarcastic. It sounds the same, and it's hard to decipher it, but I am being 100% genuine when I'm saying this. So you have to take me at my word here.
Well, obviously, everyone should take Mark Medina at his word. Okay, this Andrew Bogut thing, this came out of left field. I think we can all agree on that. What do we know about it right now, and what does it mean from your perspective?
Well, I think it's a few things. You know, I've been told that the Warriors had their eyes set on Andrew Bogut for a while, but it didn't come to fruition until after all the smoke cleared from the deadline March 1st of what that date meant is when guys can be bought out. There's kind of an expiration date. If they weren't bought out before that, they wouldn't be eligible for a playoff roster spot. So for guys that haven't been bought out, i.e. Robin Lopez, that was a signal to the Warriors, okay, those guys aren't available. There are also some other wing players that the Warriors liked, you know, like Wesley Matthews and Wayne Ellington, that wound up signing elsewhere. So I think with Andrew Bogut, there's a few things in play. The buyout market and how that played out. They know Andrew Bogut, obviously. They got him in that infamous trade from Milwaukee for Monte Ellis, and he was a part of that initial championship team in 2015. Even if, you know, there were some bitter feelings toward the ends, they still have a good relationship. And then number three, for all the excitement about Boogie Cousins, there's a lot of question marks. And I think the biggest question mark is where he is at defensively. And, you know, the Warriors are mindful. He's coming off an Achilles injury. Every week he's made progress. Right now it's early March. By mid-April he should be making even more progress. But I think this is a way, I think you pin it greatly. It's an insurance policy for Boogie in case that all those worst-case scenarios of him not progressing enough at the rate that they want to, they always have a fallback plan.
Well, beyond that, I think it's also an insurance policy in-game. So, yes, they have a fallback plan if Boogie gets injured or something keeps him out of the lineup. But, I mean, the big thing that I think the Warriors have to worry about here is Boogie doesn't move on defense. And frankly, he didn't move on defense before he ruptured his Achilles tendon. So this is sort of par for the course, except it's a bit slower. They're in the playoffs, teams do not care about the aesthetic balance of the game. They are going to run the same play 30 times in a row if they have to, whatever it will take for them to win. And against the Warriors, you sometimes have to operate on a rather rote basis. We've seen that with the Houston Rockets in the past. They're going to attack DeMarcus Cousins on the first play, the second play, the third play. They're just going to put him in pick and roll every single time, and they're going to try to get fouls on him, not necessarily because he's the best offensive player, but because before Andrew Bogut joined, and perhaps even after Andrew Bogut joins, the Warriors' depth at center was lacking. The Warriors view that they only have one center, and DeMarcus Cousins, everybody else is a forward. You now have Kevon Looney with a pelvic inflammation, which, knowing his hip surgery history, not a great word, not a great phrase to be hearing, and generally not a great phrase, particularly with Kevon Looney. Jordan Bell's inconsistency, yes, he's been good as of late, but he's undersized. He's been inconsistent. He's not someone that the Warriors necessarily want to throw into the fire there on a nightly basis. And Draymond's banged up. They don't like playing him at the five as much as they have this season. In fact, I remember Steve Kerr at the beginning of the season saying, we're not going to play Draymond at the five at all. That didn't work out. And so they don't want to have him playing extended minutes at that because he can get into foul trouble too. And then where are the Warriors? They had to go out and get a center. The buyout market did not cooperate with them, as you mentioned. Robin Lopez would have been a perfect fit for this team. The Bulls are incompetent. You can't try to tame crazy. And so I thought this Andrew Boga thing was generally inspired. And frankly, I mean, listen, we're only going off of highlights from the National Basketball League, which not exactly the highest level of competition, no offense to our Australian listeners. I'm sure that Andrew Boga was the MVP of that league. By all accounts, he dominated that league. Watching the highlights, he looks spry. He looks like he's got a nice amount of bounce, all this stuff. At the same time, he's playing against dudes who, let's be honest, they were like the fifth or sixth best guy on a mid-major roster in college basketball. Again, not the highest level of competition. At the same time, if you only need 5 minutes out of this dude, just a nice little run every now and again in strange circumstances where Boogie has foul trouble or the backup center for the opposing team is a big fella as opposed to sort of this small ball trend that we see around the league, this is perfect. It's options are strength, and this actually gives the Warriors an option at center beyond Kevon Looney, who, frankly, as much as I'm the number one Kevon Looney stan, and I'll fight you about this.
Wait, are you about to throw some shade at Kevon just now? This is the first time ever.
I know. He's been getting ragdolled a little bit, to be honest. He has not played very well as of late. Now, listen, if you have a series against the Houston Rockets in the playoffs, you know you need Kevon Looney. Everybody else, I'm not so sure about it right now. And especially now with the injury there. So I thought this was an inspired signing. But I'm very curious here as to what this means for Damian Lee, because you wrote even before he had that tremendous game by Damian Lee standards and by Warriors standards against the Sixers on Saturday. He had a great game. I think he went 3-for-5 from beyond the arc. He played in crunch time of that game. Even before that, you said he was a major option to be the 15th man on this roster. Now this 15th spot is taken, but I don't think Damian Lee's totally out of the picture yet.
No, and it's not mutually exclusive. I mean, certainly if I'm Damian Lee and I hear what's happening, you do wonder what the chances are because they don't have that open roster spot as they used to. But the Warriors don't have to make a decision literally until the end of the season because right now, Damian's on a two-way contract. They've been pretty judicious with the numbers where I think he's at 32 days with the Warriors, and he can be with them for up to 45. And so they have enough days to make that work where, you know, if it's an off day, he'll go to Santa Cruz. Like, they don't just waste those days. So they can still enjoy and see how he grows for the next month. And then if, you know, all things considered, he kind of has – apples and oranges, but he has the equivalent of what Quinn Cook had last year, where he just really played really well and they really need wing depth. They can certainly make moves. Now, from what I gathered, and it's all to be determined, but from what I gathered, I would be very surprised if they decide, hey, we're going to waive either Jacob Evans or Damian Jones to make way for Damian Lee. And the reason is, for all the warts and hiccups that those two young players have, the Warriors are mindful that A, they're still under contract, and B, they're young players. Like, at some point, maybe they'll get better, and, you know, there's no way around it. Jacob Evans was a disappointment because the bottom line is when Bob Meyer selected him at the 20th pick, the expectation is he would give the Warriors minutes. He hasn't given the Warriors minutes. He's given Santa Cruz minutes, but, you know, typical late first round pick. They typically don't usually play a lot the first seasons, but fair. There are some guys who are going to be free agents this summer: Jordan Bell, Jonas Cherepko, Alphonso McKinney, and they haven't made a decision yet. But if I'm just kind of connecting all the things together, if they're saying, "Hey, we want Damian Lee as a wing player," I would think that might mean that Alphonso's days are numbered because he's a wing player and his 3-point shot has been the best, you know, lately. But the good thing about the Warriors is they have about a month and a half to figure that final decision out.
Something that I can't shake from my head on this is that the G League playoffs will start roughly around a couple weeks before the end of the NBA's regular season. The Santa Cruz Warriors are killing it right now. They're 29-13. They're in first place in the Western Conference. They haven't clinched a playoff spot yet. This is the first time I've looked at the G League standings all year. We're doing this live. This might come into consideration here a little bit. I have to imagine that Bob Myers isn't going to want to, you know, tell Kirk Lacob, the GM of the the G League team. At least I still think he's the GM of the G League team. That hey, you know the Santa Cruz thing that we're really trying to get going, and we've had a lot of success with it, and we want to be successful at both levels. Like, we're just going to take away your best player for an extended stretch, but have fun with Jacob Evans. The Evans thing really does loom large in this whole thing. The minutes that Damian Lee was supposed to be, Damian Lee was getting in Philadelphia, those were supposed to be Jacob Evans's minutes. I totally understand 100% as to why they aren't, but man, really disappointing. And I can't get that press conference, sort of press conference, it was more of a scrum, that Bob Myers had maybe a couple weeks ago. And I asked him, you know, what's gone wrong with Jacob Evans? He hasn't, you know, perform the way that you thought he would perform, the way that you said he was going to perform this year. And he just threw him under the bus. And that was really jarring, because I was trying to phrase it in a nice way. Jacob Evans is by all accounts a very nice guy. I think he's trying his best. It just hasn't worked out for him this year. That doesn't mean it won't work out for him in the future. And man, I felt like Bob was burying him right on the spot, as this guy's never going to contribute for us. So while I totally agree with your vibe that you're picking up, that they're not going to waive Evans, they're not going to waive Damian Jones. In fact, I would be flabbergasted if they waive Damian Jones, given the fact that he's under contract for next year, which is a rarity on this roster, and that they still hold him in pretty high regard, and that they're not going to have DeMarcus Cousins if everything goes according to plan next year. But man,
possibly no Kevon Looney or Jordan Bell. So exactly. They got to have some center.
But I hold back a little bit on the Jacob Evans thing a little bit. And a name that you didn't bring up, and I don't think it is a bit on the fringe, to be fair. But Quinn Cook, he has fallen in and out of the rotation. It appears that he has a role with this team right now, but that's not guaranteed going forward. He is Steph insurance, and you need to have insurance policies on your stars, even if, you know, the premium is pretty low or pretty high, whatever you want to say. But he is a name that he does not have guaranteed money for next year.
Yeah, so. I should have included that. That was just a brain fart on my end. He's going to be a free agent. No. So he's a definitely possibility as well.
But I think I have to agree with you. I think McKinney is on the top of the pile here. You mentioned earlier, you know, Boogie is improving, and you can see it on the offensive end. But Bogut signed particularly for the defensive end. What's the vibe you're picking up? You just got done with the road trip with this team. I'm not picking up great vibes when it comes to people talking about Boogie's defense. I don't think that there's an expectation that that's going to come around in a big way. And that creates some problems for this team, even though they knew they were never going to get a great defensive player in DeMarcus Cousins. I think that they thought that both sides of the court would come around. And right now it's really just the offensive end.
Yeah, and I think the way the Warriors ended that trip against the Philadelphia 76ers encapsulates that, because Mike Scott was wide open so many times, and DeMarcus Cousins is leaving him open. Steve Kerr's getting on him about leaving him open. And, you know, afterwards, Steve Kerr and Draymond Green provided an interesting explanation. Like, Steve said that DeMarcus actually did a good job switching, but then in the next sentence he was saying that, you know, he needs to adjust with guys, you know, leaving guys like Mike Scott open. You know, Draymond said that it was initially by design that they didn't want DeMarcus Cousins to help, maybe to kind of shield him from his weaknesses. And then DeMarcus came out and said, look, I can help. You know, that just might be semantics to cover up like whose fault it is. But the reality is DeMarcus is a big time work in progress defensively. I think it's their hope, and you've seen signs of it. Like, Boogie has been doing a lot of good things offensively as a passer, screen setter. His post game is coming around. I mean, there's no way around the numbers as a unit. Their plus minus is bad, but yeah. I think the Warriors attribute that mostly to the Warriors' apathy to open games, as opposed to, hey, this is a problem of playing with Boogie per se. And I think as long as the returns offensively vastly outweigh the negative returns defensively, they'll live with Boogie. But the problem is, you know, is it enough at this point? I would say no. And that's why they decide, hey, let's get Andrew Bogut. Now, that could definitely be addressed with another month and a half season's worth of games, because his conditioning will get better. So maybe he can at least rotate better. But to your point, he's not known as a good defender anyway. And the thing with Andrew Bogut, like, there's a lot of question marks. He's 34 years old. You know, last time he played in the NBA was last season. He played 24 games, and he's had some injuries. You may recall he had that injury in the 2016 NBA Finals. You know, they wound up trading him to Dallas, you know, mostly to just open up cap space for Kevin Durant. But you know, I've been told that, you know, the Warriors had a rep out in Australia to check him out. And, you know, it's one thing for you to see, Dieter, him looking good in this highlight tape. And you know,
he had a great basketball analysis there,
but I think the more encouraging thing is the Warriors brass thought the same thing when they saw him live, that there's no injury issues. And they think that under the framework of, hey, he's not going to be playing a lot of minutes, a lot of it's just situational when they're playing against big guys in the playoffs, that he'll do what's needed. And, you know, he knows the system, players like him, so it won't be a matter of, hey, how does he fit in and how does he adapt to the culture? He knows what that's all about already.
Yeah, I think it will be good for guys like Clay. Clay has had some, I mean, this is kind of a weird come behind the curtain here thing. Like, Clay and Bogut were fairly close. I don't know if they were super buddy-buddy, but like...
Not like Zaza buddy-buddy, but...
No, like Zaza and Anderson, Clay likes the big guys. Like that's his, he gravitates towards centers apparently. I don't know what that's about. And I'm certainly not going to venture a guess as to why, but he seems to lose all of his friends. Anderson Varejao was his best friend on the team. Something we didn't really find out until this year, because Clay keeps it pretty close to the vest. Anderson Varejao obviously no longer with the Warriors, and it's been a while. And him and Bogut were there. Maybe this helps Clay a little bit. Not that Clay needs any help. He's playing fantastic basketball. I think the veterans are going to like just having Andrew Bogut's a ball buster. There's no, you know, clean way to say that. And just having he's gonna spark some stuff up. He's gonna liven things up a little bit. I'm excited to have him back. I loved covering him the first time he was with this team. He's always a great quote. He'll keep you on your toes. He's gonna play games with you. This locker room hasn't developed into a funk, but it has become very businesslike compared to where it was at even a year ago. And in particular, post this Durant scenario, and I totally understand why we're in the fifth year of this bad boy. It's difficult to sort of keep energy high. They are going through the motions in the regular season. Totally get it. This is not an indictment in any way, but I think as much as Boogie coming into the fray helps spark things for a little bit, that allure has worn off. The new player smell has worn away. Bringing in Andrew Bogut, an old friend, a familiar face, and somebody who's not afraid to mix things up, for better or for worse, in the locker room, I think is going to be a positive thing for this team, who has 19 games yet to play, can still get the number one seed in the Western Conference. Not that they want it, but they could still do it. We know what he can. We in theory know what he can provide on the defensive end. I think he's a perfect fit for this team at this time. I just feel really good about this. I have a really good vibe about it. So long as Andrew Bogut understands that they're going to be nice that he doesn't play, and I can't imagine that Bob Myers and the Warriors, you know, front office hasn't told Andrew Bogut exactly how that's going to go down, and that Andrew Bogut isn't aware of the situation in play. So I think this is a great move. That said, I don't know when Bogut's going to show up. He hasn't officially signed yet. Even if he does, he's going to have to probably work off some jet lag coming from Australia and stuff.
Yeah,
I can only imagine. I've never... I mean, a 7-footer. Can you fly private? I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm sure the National Basketball League will hook it up. They got charter jets, right?
Those charter jets are pretty small. I don't think you can get enough gasoline in those to fly from Australia. So yeah. I think it's first class, or hopefully first class. Geez, from Australia. It's going to take a load off. I don't expect to really see them in the next week or so, and on the court certainly. But this is a big. This is a big week. I think this 5-game stretch for the Warriors is going to indicate their station come the playoffs, and particularly their road come the playoffs, because I think seeding is on the line, even though there are, you know, still, as I said, 19 games left. You have a game against the Celtics on Tuesday, the Nuggets on Friday, Phoenix on Sunday, which we can just forget about. Not that you can overlook a Phoenix game in the sense of win-loss. The Lakers certainly found that out the hard way.
Let's just hope the Warriors don't inbound the ball and it hits the back of the backboard.
Well, they might have to fire Luke Walton after that. And then after that Phoenix game, this is as interesting a road trip as you're going to get, at least the first two or three games. The Rockets on Wednesday the 13th, and then the Thunder, who I think we can all agree are probably the Warriors' number one threat in the Western Conference when it comes to playoff time. That's on Saturday. Man, four out of those five games, you're dealing with the cream of the crop. I don't know if the Celtics even apply to that anymore, but you're dealing with some bona fide teams. And ultimately, with the Warriors handling a bunch of injuries right now, Andre Iguodala might be out because he's old on Tuesday night, according to Steve Kerr. This feels like the number one seed hangs in the balance over these next five games. And ultimately, I don't know who's going to be on the court for the Warriors because they are absolutely 100% prioritizing rest.
Right. And the thing about this tougher schedule that you're bringing up, you would think, okay, now is the time that the Warriors are going to start getting engaged. If you look at this season, that hasn't necessarily been a precursor to that. Like, you've seen examples of, hey, the Warriors are getting up for this. They're playing a playoff preview. The Celtics, right, for example. I would say the second half of the Sixers game, but there's definitely games, like both games against the Rockets, the game at home against Toronto, where they weren't quite really engaged with that game. They kind of split the difference against Milwaukee. But I think, you know, kind of circling back to Andrew Bogut, not only can he, you know, maybe add some juice to that, but when you're talking about kind of the indirect benefits, i.e., you know, Klay Thompson, like, I think there's some other things that struck my mind as you were talking. A, like, we've already talked about DeMarcus, but one other element is the hope for DeMarcus certainly is for his minutes to be increased and maybe he can play back-to-backs. But, you know, maybe Steve Kerr and Dr. Rick Silverini think otherwise. And if there's games where they think, hey, he needs to either rest or just play fewer minutes, they'll have more comfort to do that, number one. Number two, like, Steph Curry, like, he's been a self-made man. But I know talking to people on the Warriors, like, they really felt like Andrew Bogut's presence, like, helped along with that and paved the way for Steph, being that having those MVP seasons. And then Draymond, huge, to this day will always say, I wouldn't be the defender I am without Andrew Bogut. And I remember talking to Draymond this year about, like, you know, he's had an up and down year because of his injuries, because of his level of engagement. He doesn't want to necessarily throw his teammates under the bus, but he's been honest in saying, like, the defense has been challenging for him because he's had to cover up ground for everyone else because there's new players. And he was used to last season where he's playing defense with David West and he wouldn't really have to say anything. Like, they knew what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And I think that applies the same with Andrew Bogut. Like, even if Andrew is playing limited minutes, I think that will definitely have a trickle-down effect to Draymond's defensive effectiveness, not to mention that at this time of the year, you think Draymond will start flipping a little bit of a switch. So there's a lot of different obvious benefits and kind of trickle-down effects that come as a result of this expected signing.
Couldn't agree with you more on the Draymond thing. They had such a wonderful symbiosis when they played together. And obviously the game has changed pretty drastically, I would argue, since Andrew Bogut has been a viable NBA player. But man, Andre Iguodala has been on a defensive tear as of late. He has been, I think I called it a virtuoso performance in Philadelphia. And it's just these small things that are hard to notice on first glance, but he's doing a lot of Draymond-like stuff. And in fact, he might have, you know, been doing it. He was doing it well before Draymond started doing it. But having both Iguodala and Draymond playing their best defense can make the Warriors almost single-handedly a good defense, no matter who else is on the court. But you add in an Andrew Bogut who, if nothing else, sees the court so wonderfully and is smart enough to be able to manipulate guys around, man, that just adds another layer. If Andrew Bogut is in any way physically capable, we know he'll be mentally capable. And just having another quarterback defensively on the court is huge because there are moments when you don't have Draymond and you don't have Andre on the court. And it would be great to still have that quarterback, someone who can orchestrate the defense in front of them, even if they're not as physically capable as Draymond and Andre and can guard four or five positions. Just having that voice out there, I think, is absolutely huge. So I couldn't agree with you more on that. This Celtics game Tuesday night, the Celtics are a hot mess. I know Kevin Durant said some stuff about that today, which I'm sure won't be misconstrued by anybody, seeing as Kyrie Irving and him.
He loves Kyrie.
You know what? And what's not to love about Mr. Kyrie Irving, who seems to be slowly walking towards New York every time he speaks? What did Kevin say about the Celtics today? And man, what are you thinking about this game on Tuesday?
Well, he said that he still sees the Celtics as the top in the East, even though they've lost, I think, four of their past six games. The standings say
they're not watching a lot of Eastern Conference basketball. I'll give him that.
Well, I guess his point is that right now it doesn't matter what you're seeing on the screen because he thinks that they'll figure it out by the playoffs. So okay. Even if they're ranked fifth in the Eastern Conference, behind teams like the Toronto Raptors, the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Indiana Pacers and the Sixers, I don't think the Pacers will hold up because that Victor Oladipo injury was just so severe.
I don't know, man. I thought that too, but here they are. They're still there. I mean,
they're still there, but playoffs, I guess, are different. This is his
totally
point, right?
No, I understand.
Sixers, I think that there's kind of some uncertainty around the league of, how well do these young guys even mesh together and will they be able to figure out to make a run? I think there's a lot of optimism regarding, Toronto. Well,
let's just read the injury report. Yeah, here we go. Want to read this off,
Mark? The Celtics have a lot of talent. You're talking about the Warriors injury report?
Yeah, the one that just came out. Why don't we do this live?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like this is what Steve Kerr had said earlier, but Kevon Looney is definitely out. Klay Thompson is questionable. So is Andre Iguodala. And Alphonso McKinney is probable. So, you're going to see a combination of, with the exception of maybe Klay, and maybe Andre, you'll have a lot of their rotation guys playing, their all-stars playing, but you're going to probably see some patchwork here with no Kevon Looney, maybe no McKinney. Even if McKinney plays, he's been ineffective. So you're going to kind of see the perfect imagery of what makes the Warriors go, for better and for worse. They're very top heavy, and so therefore they're a very good team, but there's not a lot of a lot of reinforcements below that. And that kind of ties in together to what you're talking about with Andre Iguodala and Andrew Bogut. Like, this presents, I think, both a comfort level for the Warriors, but also some uncertainty. Like, there's no way around it. No matter how you want to scrutinize the bench, the rotation's going to be shorter. They're going to lean on their main core guys once the playoffs start. But I think the more pressing question is, you need to have insurance for those worst case scenarios of any injuries. And what should the Warriors prioritize? Like, are they in a better position to absorb any kind of injury with DeMarcus at the center position or an injury to Andre Iguodala? I don't know if there's really any easy answers to that. What do you think? Like, what would you say would be more devastating as far as where they're at with their center depth versus their wing depth when you're talking about any unforeseen injuries to those two players?
Yeah, it's all up because the question is what DeMarcus Cousins is playing. If it's the DeMarcus Cousins the Warriors have right here, right now, and he gets no better in any regard, then I think you have to say it's the center position. But if DeMarcus Cousins turns into something special, then I don't know. That's a catch-22. I will say this about the scenario that comes up on Tuesday and perhaps in the coming days with Kevon Looney already ruled out with the pelvic soreness. Andrew Bogut nowhere on the horizon necessarily. And he's certainly not showing up this week given everything that needs to happen for him to join the Warriors. And it could be a lot longer than perhaps most would expect. Jordan Bell needs to keep playing the way that he's playing. And I think Jordan Bell has been absolutely fantastic. But if this guy, one, he is on the chopping block in some way, shape, or form. If he falls out of the rotation and there is no role for Jordan Bell on this team in for the rest of the year, or at least the coaching staff doesn't trust him and they've put him back in the doghouse, man, he might be the guy who's cut for Damian Lee. But you look at the way that the teams in the playoffs play, usually it's a small ball backup center, even with these behemoths that they have in the Western Conference, small ball backup center. And Jordan Bell's just a solid energy guy, someone that it would be nice in theory for the Warriors to be able to just throw out there for 2 or 3 minutes at the time to just do some stuff, kind of in the way that Alphonso McKinney did earlier this season. He just broke some stuff up, went out there, made some things happen with just hustle. And Bell has been fantastic. He is playing a much simpler game. He's embraced simplicity, which is something that the Warriors coaching staff has been trying to get him to do all year. In fact, his entire career. And he's really, you can see that he's coming around to it now, perhaps more than ever. If he can keep this going, he can still have a role on this team, even with Andrew Bogut coming in. But if he does not, if it falls off, if he goes back to biting at every pump fake and playing wild and not being reliable, which is all that a coach wants from a bench player, just be reliable. Let me know exactly what you're getting, because we're just buying time with you out there. If he goes back to where he was at, he's going to end up in the doghouse. He's not going to have a role in the playoffs, and that might mean he's the first one out of town if they decide that Damian Lee is the wing depth that they need. So there's a lot riding for Jordan Bell right now, and I'm fascinated to see how he responds to it. And I think this Boston game is a great opportunity for him to prove that he's the real deal, because I don't know what the hell's going on with Boston. I certainly do not have the answer to their woes. But man, they're still perceived as a marquee opponent. And with the Nuggets coming up after that, and then the Rockets and the Thunder in next week, man, Jordan Bell has a chance to put some serious solid tape on the reel and can, you know, basically, I think, carve himself out a spot in this rotation for the playoffs. But man, that's something I'm really interested to watch.
Yeah, and I think to tie it together with Andrew Bogut and what they do with the wing position, like, there's no way around it. Jordan Bell and Kevon Looney might have to be competing now even more for minutes because of Bogut. And also, if they wind up doing the Damian Lee route to keep him on the regular season roster, Jordan's vulnerable there. But with that being said, I think another trickle-down effect is that Andrew's presence allows Steve Kerr to put Kevon Looney and Jordan Bell more in positions to succeed than positions to failure. Because even if they hustle well, they're just undersized. They can get a lot of fouls here or there, especially against bigs. But if you do post them against forwards, they're just asked to provide energy, show off their athleticism. They can do that pretty easily. So I think all across the board, there are definitely a lot of realistic best case scenarios that can come out of this Bogut signing, even if Bogut himself is only playing, you know, somewhere between 10 minutes or even fewer a night.
It's great stuff, Mark. I'm really excited for these upcoming games. I know that the Warriors might not be, but I'm going to be. Boston on Tuesday, the Nuggets on Friday. We're going to skip over the Suns game on Sunday.
Maybe Steve Kerr will hand over the clipboard. Maybe to you, because he'll take a day off.
Oh, God, wouldn't that be a moment? Somehow the Warriors lost by 45 to the Suns, and you can blame Dieter Kurtenbach. And then Rockets and Thunder. But we're going to talk well before that road trip gets underway. Mark, tell everybody your Twitter handle and what they can expect from you the rest of the week, other than your day-to-day exceptional coverage.
Oh, man. Checks in the mail, by the way, for all those compliments. But yeah, MarkG_Medina is the Twitter account. We got the Warriors HQ podcast up and running on iTunes and basically every platform that you can listen to iTunes. What's it like? Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Music, iTunes, everything. D. Kurtenbach, right? That's your Twitter handle.
That's it. Yeah, I could have told you that, but I'm going to tell you to subscribe and rate, because it really does help.
Yes, it does. It does.
So you need to do that, Mark. But also the listeners. If you got this far, you owe this to us, because we didn't charge you for this, and we could.
But there's a really good deal on the website. I think right now, like Klay Thompson's peddling this deal right now, where if you sign up for a subscription, it's 11 cents a day for 11 months. Damn. So pretty good. That's pretty good.
I like it. I just moved into a new place. I think that it's time to start getting the paper delivered now that I don't have homeless people living on my doorstep. So
there you go. And even if you don't want the paper, even if it's just to go online,
the digital stuff pays for itself with the incredible nuggets that Mark Medina provides every day, and the scorching hot takes that will ruin your computer monitor, just burned into your computer monitor on the daily basis coming from me. But we will check out. We have a bunch of stuff to do before the Warriors take on the Celtics on Tuesday night. We will talk soon after that game. Can't tell you when, but soon thereafter. Mark, thank you for your time. I will see you tomorrow. Looking forward to it, and we will talk to you guys soon.
Thanks again.